It's the Tiltcast, episode 617, Dumping Syndrome.
And this week, guys, we talk Death Stranding and the first Berserker, Kazan. Stay tuned.
Kazan's way better than Dumping Syndrome.
We're back. It is the Tiltcast. It is an M-rated show. I'm Nas.
I'm Jason.
I'm here.
Rest.
And with the three of us, you're going to get about 30 minutes of bullshit. Some games and some news. It is Sunday, April 13th, 2025. It is going to be a balmy 87 degrees today, I think, if it's not already.
87?
It's 88 right now. Never mind.
Jesus. I mean, I guess it's 62 here, so it's really like...
Usually about a 20-degree difference, right?
Yeah, spring has arrived. We'll see how long it lasts, but this is like the 42nd spring in the north. So, it'll probably snow tomorrow. Like, I don't know.
I don't think it's gonna snow again here. Not until way later in the year.
Well... You never know in the north. That's the thing. So we'll just deal. Oh crap!
About time to put up the pool, isn't it, Jason?
It is almost time.
You waited till like July last year, right?
Like late June, but that was because we were setting up some scratch again for the whole new pool. Now, not so much.
Yeah, I'm not going to wait that long. Sometime next month, I'm going to have it done. Maybe late this month. It's all in how long you want to maintain it, though, too. So maybe mid-May is when I do it. And I don't get to work from home like I did last year, so it's going to be more of a pain in the ass this year. It's been a week.
It has been a week.
I'm still waking up, man.
Yeah, you taking midday naps on a Sunday.
Hey, well, I mean, what else can an old man do, right? I don't know what it was, man. Maybe work is just finally, like, hitting me, or I don't know.
Doing the same for me. It's a never-ending. A never-ending, like, sea of things to manage and do. Sometimes I'm just like, man, what else do we got? What else is going to come up? Like, I worked 2 hours over every day this last week, and I took off a half day to get a tattoo, and I still worked 2 hours after I got done with the tattoo when I got back home.
That tattoo's 8. Finally done though, right?
Yeah, my sleeve's done.
Nice.
I found out for me, the area really close to my armpit is the most tender place in my entire body for getting tattooed.
Oh, you haven't tried the other places yet.
I'm not tattooing my ball sack or my taint. I've heard knuckles are pretty bad. I don't plan on tattooing those.
There's not much there. You just end up hitting bone. Gosh, well, that would suck.
It's, the inside of my arms don't see sun. Well, and it's about an inch over, about an inch above my pit hair. When he was doing that, it was, I could feel that all the way in the center of my armpit. Like, it radiated through my chest and, like, out my navel.
Goddamn.
About 2 hours in, he's like, do you want to split this in two sessions? I was like, no, I'm going to do this. I'm going to get through this shit.
He's like, I'm already adjusted to the pain. Make it happen. I don't want to do this again.
He's like, we got a couple more hours. Easy. I was like, oh, I'm not doing this again. We're going to get it done. And so the whole rest of it is like, don't be a pussy. Don't be a pussy. Just the whole time trying to, you know, emasculate me to keep me going.
That's it,
about a 7.5, 8 out of 10 pain level.
Yeah.
Just drilling into me, man. I did not know that area of my body was that tender. You get shot in the inside of the arm, like it's just over. Like that's such a bad spot. But yeah, I'm done. And it's healing surprisingly fast. You guys probably can't tell, but I'm not wearing Sanoderm right now. I took that off yesterday, and I was like, I wonder how this will feel. And a little bit like a sunburn right now, but not much more. Feels fine. Like, anytime I go with my gal next weekend to do things, like, it'll be fully healed. For all intents and purposes. Usually there'll be, like, a couple of little bitty scabs. But yeah, and I'm done with it. I don't have to mess with this for a while. I might do some more Lord of the Rings stuff on my leg this year, but I don't know. It's expensive shit, man. You know, every time I go in, we're talking like $600-$700 a pop. And I've been in a lot. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times.
But you've completed the vision of what's on your arm, though. That's the thing.
Yeah, so it's complete. I don't have to mess with it for ever. I don't have to do anything with this unless I just want to like alter it a little bit, and I don't really know that I do.
It looks good.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got this like negative space line that goes all the way from my wrist all the way to my fucking armpit. Which actually kind of adds to the flow. But yeah, that's a thing. I would not start in the inside of your arm. I'm glad I left that for last. You'll notice a lot of people with arm tattoos don't have inner arm tattoos. It's because they're a bitch. No, not really. It is pretty painful. Forearms, though, inside of your forearm, a little bit painful. Outside of your forearm, like, I don't know, 3 out of 10 maybe. Outside of your bicep, 3 out of 10 maybe. 2 out of 10, I don't know.
Inside?
Inside is like, inside of your forearm's a little harder. The part that's hard on the inside of your arm is they call it the ditch, the spot in the inner elbow.
Yeah,
that's fairly difficult. It's a good 5, 6 out of 10. Outside of elbow, yeah, good 5, 6 out of 10. Right next to your pit, 8 out of 10. 8 out of 10. I felt every needle, every single needle, the whole time. Spicy, super spicy. Yeah, and then I had a, not something I sought out. There's a guy that's been following my work for a while that also shoots pictures of bands a lot. He also does a lot of video at work, named JJ, and he wanted to learn some stuff about his camera. He's got a good eye. He's got good composition. Really didn't have a real deep understanding of the mechanical aspects of it. And I think correcting just the mechanical aspects of it actually will make his stuff that much better. He's shown me some shots that he did that are phenomenal. But I think part of that is just understanding the comp and then being able to go back on the back end. Like, just having your settings right makes your edits take way less time.
Mm-hmm.
So, went out with him last night, taught him a bunch of stuff, and had a good time, and I didn't charge him anything. I didn't feel like I needed to. I've never taught anybody anything about Minecraft, so I was kind of like looking at it as a way to figure out how I would do that. And, let's see. The band that I shot pictures of last week is continuing to use my photos this week, as they tour all over the country, which is pretty cool.
I saw that. I was like, oh, that's good. That's good shit.
Getting a lot of page views off of this stuff, I'm assuming. I didn't make them link directly to my site, but I asked them to leave my watermarks. There's only been like a couple of times I didn't. I think it's because of the formatting. I gave them stuff. I told them, I was like, hey, if it's a square format, like, it'll look stupid if you use my watermark. I'd rather you just use the unwatermarked one if you're going to self-crop it. I've been a couple times I've done that, but 9 times out of 10, they're usually my watermark on stuff. So, if you ever heard of A Killer's Confession or Mushroom Head, that's who I shot pictures of. Just go look at it. Nostalgic Photography, that's my brand. But, it's
worth every moment, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to print a couple of those because that's probably the second biggest band I've taken pictures of. That Case of the Day is a little bigger. It's the biggest one I think I've taken pictures of. But, yeah, and I've been playing video games. What have you guys been up to?
Oh, man. I once again haven't really played that many video games, but I got a good reason. That's my anniversary week. 15 years.
Oh, yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary there.
But, so you got to have sex with your wife, but you missed out on some bomb-ass burgers on Friday.
Yeah, true. But, I mean, since we were able to get rid of the kids for the weekend, I grilled some bomb-ass fucking steaks yesterday, though.
I didn't realize you... So you don't have the kids today, do you? Or do you?
No. I may have to go pick two of them up here in a little bit, but yeah, no. Don't have the kids in the house right now.
So you guys have slept really hard.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, we did. And, you know, so, like, this week, pretty much every day after work was either we went to work out, because we're trying to be more diligent about doing that 3 or 4 times a week. Setting up for this weekend, because our actual anniversary was Thursday, so I actually took day off Thursday and Friday, hung out with my wife most of the day while the children were in school, doing things she wanted to do outside of the house, and, you know, then once they were gone Friday evening, we did wife and husband things.
I like how you keep it PG. But I guess, you know, the rest of the world doesn't need to know any intimate details, so.
Exactly.
I don't really either. I know both of you. It just make it be uncomfortable.
I lived with them. I've gotten over the uncomfortable part.
Rusty had to hear the sounds.
I just knew when to go into my room, close the door, and turn whatever I was playing on, playing games on. I'll just turn it up.
Yeah, I would.
Watch TV, whatever. Leave the house if I could.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. I gotta do my taxes. So,
you know, it was a pretty fucking busy week. Yeah, if you've not done your taxes yet, you're screwed, sir.
Well, I can do them today.
You haven't done your taxes yet, you dummy?
I did those back in January.
Money back. I pay money.
Well, I pay money, and I try to get that shit out of the way as quick as possible.
I've been busy every weekend.
So?
That was what I was supposed to do yesterday. I was trying to figure out what I was supposed to do.
Oh, man.
So I got to do that after this. Fuck.
Oh. Yeah, you really do, but...
Just do Tuesday, yeah, huh?
And you have to do it online now, because you can't fucking send it in.
I always do it online.
Well, I mean, then there you go. Just as long as it's, you know, marked as complete and transmitted before the deadline, then you don't have any problems. Yeah, should I get that shit done as soon as I get all the paperwork? This year, I had a bunch of extra paperwork because of, all of the doctor's appointments and everything leading up to the surgery. Couldn't claim the surgery itself this year, on that taxes, but I had plenty of doctor's appointments and stuff that, that went on there. So I had to make sure I had all the paperwork for all that. And, that did help. I didn't have to pay in nearly as much, but I still had to pay in. Government always takes a slice. And I'll never get it back. I'll never see it back. I get that shit done quick. Just so that I don't end up forgetting. Oh, shit. Let's see. What have I done? Oh, what the fuck have I done? It's been a really fucking weird week for work. So it's just been, anybody in the IT field, if you understand, trying to do a software deployment in the space of a week and a half or so, on a time crunch, replacing another piece of software that is, that dying at the end of that week and a half time frame, and making sure it all works perfectly, no problems whatsoever, you realize why I don't have any hair. the word of the day has been restart at work, I've realized that people don't know what the word restart means. Restart does not mean power off the computer. It does not mean power off the computer. It does not mean shut down. It means restart. Having to teach people who don't normally deal with this type of shit, I have to ask them to do that, so I'm not going to go restart their machines willy-nilly. Imagine being mid-edit on a freaking picture and and your computer restarts, right?
That would suck.
Now imagine being mid CAD project or something like that, and you haven't saved in an hour, and you've done a shitload of edits, and restarting computer willy-nilly would cause problems. And I really don't want to have to get into get into that particular thing with my users. So yeah, it's been a thing. Work is work is work. The team is getting randomly sick. I got randomly sick this week too. Shit. So I don't know what the hell happened. But I ended up having a call off of work on Tuesday. I woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and normally I'm able to I don't wake up in the middle of the night to use the restroom at all.
Not at that age.
I'm not at that age. I don't need to. If I wake up in the middle of the night from a deep sleep and I'm like, I have to use the restroom, there's a problem. There's a problem on Tuesday. See, at 4 o'clock in the morning, I couldn't stop. I went in there and I spent like an hour or so just like losing weight forcefully at the rear end. It was so bad that I'm throwing up in the, into the wastebasket while doing this. And I felt terrible. I don't know what the hell happened. I didn't have anything food wise that was like anything different. This just happened. And as soon as I was done, I was drained completely. Like my soul left my ass, and I couldn't do anything for the rest of the day. I passed out. I called in and I passed out for like 3/4 of the day. Just I was out cold. Barely could keep anything down. And apparently, that
After I talked to some people and I explained what this was, that was dumping syndrome. That is what it felt like to have dumping syndrome, which
dumping
is
syndrome.
Literally my body just saying nope to literally everything that's in my GI. Getting rid of literally everything. And I was empty. I lost 5 pounds in a day.
That's a lot of poop.
I lost 5 pounds in that, you know, in that day, you know, just alone. It's just, it was a thing. So I now know what dumping syndrome is, and I want to stay away from that fucking thing as hard as possible. Holy shit. That is not fun. Apparently that triggers on certain things. Generally it's due to either too much sugars or too much carbs or something like that. If you like have a slice of birthday cake or something that your body is just like, no, you don't process this well anymore. We're just going to flush your system. And that's what happened. I didn't have any of that. It was a fairly normal, had a fairly normal dinner. So yeah, it was just a weird thing. I've lost, quite a bit of weight. I'm only, I'm single digits away from my first big milestone. My first big milestone would be, my high school weight, which was 300. Yes, I was a big boy when I was in high school. But that is my first big milestone. I am only 4 pounds away from it now.
Oh, good.
So if I can, if I can drop those 4 pounds here in the next couple weeks, I'll be happy. And that will be cause for celebration. I think I'm going to have myself 4 ounces of steak when that happens, because that's about all I can have. But yeah, that's the goal. That's the short term goal. And then I'm hoping to continue to lose weight. Realistically, I'm thinking 250 is about where I'm going to end up. If I get anything lower than that, happy. I'll be ecstatic. But 250 is probably the realistic goal for me. That'd be tits, man. I'm currently. I just picked up a new jacket because when I was walking around. When I was walking around work, people are like, man, you've lost a lot of weight. I'm like, thanks. And they're like, you need to buy clothes. But I just stop for a second. I just look at it. Yeah, your clothes are falling off you, man. You need to buy clothes. My hoodie is so big that it just, it looked bad. So I picked up a new Carhartt hoodie, and I now wear a 2X hoodie, which is, I haven't been in a 2X in a long ass time, man. So, yeah, I'm a big boy, but I'm getting smaller. I can't help but think of the Stephen King movie Thinner. Every time I look at the scale or look in the mirror, because this has all happened real quick. I mean, since January, am I cursed? Is this going to stop at some point? I don't know, man. It feels great though. So if one of the side effects is, I sleep like an old man during the weekends, whatever. It's, naps are good for you.
But yeah, other things that's happened, I've poked around at the housing market even more, and decided that, until things get a little bit more stable in the world, I think maybe I just, go with the status quo for right now.
Wait.
Yeah, I'm not gonna get myself upside down in a house because of shit happening all over the world right now. So, I'm just gonna hold off. When I talked to some of the home builders around here, they were like, "Yeah, you're gonna want to hold. You're gonna want a budget for like 300K." And I did the math, and that's like about $2,000 a month. And I'm like, oh God, no, there's no way. There's no way. So I'd be extremely house poor if I built right now. Because I mean, I wouldn't be able to buy anything. I couldn't even pay for electricity.
Yeah, no kidding.
So, yeah, that sucks. So if the housing market, unfucks itself, great. If it doesn't, then I'm just gonna, I don't know, maybe do housing investment instead of building. I'll just drop some, single wide trailers on it and rent, be a freaking slumlord, whatever. I mean, the people who are, people who have apartment complexes and trailer parks right now, they're making bank. Yeah, they're making big ass bank, man. But actually owning a home at the moment, it's probably not worth it. So it's kind of sucks. So yeah, instead of being depressed about, housing prices and shit, I've been bouncing between video games. Played about, 5 or 6 of them in the past, past week, because I can't land on anything yet. So, does anybody want to start with their video game?
I mean, I've got game to talk about.
A game. Well, that I played a game that's similar to yours. So let's roll with it.
Hey, y'all's one game is better than my no game.
Oh, jeez, you didn't play any. You realize it's a gaming podcast.
Dude, I have had a really busy couple of weeks.
I'll give you that. I'm just poking fun, dude.
Yeah, I have also had a pretty busy. So I was edited from 7 in the morning to 1 in the morning last Saturday last week. And then I edited till we podcast from 8 a.m. till about 1. And then from about 4 p.m. till about 9 p.m. last Sunday. And then I took a break and caught up with chores in the house Monday. Tuesday, I edited till 11:30. And Wednesday, I had my first free day. So I fired up. The first Berserker Kazan. And initially, so all I'd done is gotten past the first boss when I first started. And I got to the second boss, and I think I was playing it like Dark Souls, and this game doesn't, it does sort of play like Dark Souls, but not really.
No.
I watched somebody beat that boss, and then it started to click with me, like, oh, it wants me to, like, A, respec, because you don't, had like one respec orb, right, and I was like, I need to just go through several different weapon types and figure out what I like best. And right now, I can max out my stamina and my health, more or less. Like, I could get them both up to, like, 25 at that point. And I can try out a few different weapon sets. So I beat that second boss with the dual blades. And then I realized that I needed to be doing a lot more parries or perfect blocks. I'm not going to go to the terminology of the game, since unless you played it, it doesn't make sense. But, like, there's a lot of different ways to mitigate damage. You got your basic dodge and your basic block. Both use stamina, right? And then you've got your perfect dodge, which with one skill point in, like, mitigates the amount of stamina that you lose. And then a perfect block, which also mitigates the amount. Like, you actually get stamina back. And then you've got a parry, like an actual parry. And that parry gives you, knocks a huge amount of the creature you're fighting stamina down. And then you've got an unblockable attack, counterattack thing that you can do that only happens in certain circumstances. And so I learned a couple of those systems, and then Dual Blades is what I landed on initially. And I was like, I'm not going to put any points in the stuff that level up Dual Blades. I'm going to try out the spear. Didn't really like the spear a lot, and then kind of went back to... This is the first Berserker Gazon. It kind of went back to the big two-handed sword, and then found out that I actually like the two-handed sword, even though it's a little bit slower. I like that you can one-shot stuff sometimes with it, and I like that you can chain combos together with it. And then I found out that you can do a perfect block, and then counterattack. It's like, oh, that's how I weave in attacks in between things with this weapon, if I can't just straight up one-shot stuff. And then it all started to click into place. So that boss you were watching me fight, that's an alternate version of that boss that I was fighting. And that boss took me a good 3 hours yesterday to beat. And that was my third attempt when you logged in on the chat when I was streaming earlier on Discord. So that was my third attempt. So, like, I'd learned kind of like the secret sauce for the two-handed blade. So now I'm, you know, I don't know how far I am into the game, but, like, I'm making progress. That's the important thing. Like, there's some bosses, some alternate bosses and that I went back and fought. I did go back and I'd unlock something to find certain collectibles that unlock new weapon or new armor types, essentially. And started going collectible hunting through some of the levels. And then I went to each of the bosses and, like, one or two shot all of the ones that gave me a lot of trouble. Like, the very first boss I can beat 100% of the time. I've beat him like 7 times at this point. But the game wants you to, like, reflect damage or, you know, like, wants you to mitigate damage by you timing an action. That's how it wants you. Like, you can do that with all of those things, and you can get destroyed really fast. That's the... And initially, you only start off with, like, it has, like, an Estus flask, essentially, right? And that'll get you, you know, a certain percentage of health up. And you only start out with 4 of them, and if you beat the first boss, you can get an armor set that gives you 1 additional charge. And I think that was really key for a little while I kind of figured out everything.
I didn't have that. Because the boss drops are random.
Yeah.
So I didn't get the extra.
Well, you
flat thing.
You have to have a 5. Vision. You have to have a 5 set or 4 set of it. So yeah, you need to go fight the first boss a few times. Sometimes he drops more than 1 piece of gear.
Yeah, I didn't have that. So my biggest problem was the third boss, Viper.
That was the hardest one so far.
Viper can kiss my ass. I died far too many times to that fucker.
Well, it's like you get like I finally, like, on my 10th attempt, I got through and I was like, I beat him, and I was like, oh, phase 2. No, there's
another health bar. Oh god, no, why? They fully on fucking Dark Souls that shit with the second health bar.
What weapon class are you using?
Spear. So when you dabble in a particular weapon class, it is underwhelming completely. But what you need to do with the spear to get it to a point where it actually does a decent amount of damage is you have to do your light combo. You have to do the light combo, 3 hits in the light combo. So that's your standard, like, jabs with the spear. When you do the 3rd hit, you get a buff that basically has, like, a phantom version of you following you around. That, you know, that
also, you know, like mirrors your attack. So you get twice the amount of damage out of your attacks, but you have to like trigger that first. And once you get that, your heavy attack changes to like a sweep attack that also has the phantom sweep attack behind it. And you can start chaining additional attacks on top of that. Like, you know, you do two heavy attacks and that hits four times, and then you plant the spear in the ground and kick off of it, and you just like kick the dude, you know, kick the enemy in the chest, which knocks him back hard. And spear is basically meant to, you know, whittle their stamina down more than their health. So you do those like brutalized attacks, the enemy is basically stunned for a second, and you do the unblockable attack on them. Spear is meant to trigger those far more than any of the other weapon types.
That guy's so hard. Like, I played it Thursday night after I got done with stuff, right? It was my whole play session to beat him. I think texted you guys and was like, working on Vipers. I asked you, I was like, how many times did you try Viper? And then like 2 hours later, I finally beat Viper. And
yeah,
50 attempts. Easy 50 attempts. It was ridiculous.
It was probably close for me. It actually took me 3 days. So I would come home and I'd do a few attempts at him. Get to a point where like I can get to the second phase, you know, fairly regularly, but the second phase was fucking me up. And the way that the game actually works, it's not like Dark Souls where you lose the your currency inside the boss arena. You get some currency from fighting the boss, and all of the currency is dropped right outside the boss. So you can actually try bosses over and over again. And while it's not as fast as leveling through like a normal area, you can kind of grind out some skill points.
It's and pity skill ups.
Couple levels. Yeah, baby skill ups. You know, just to, you know, to have a little bit of forward progression on, you know, fighting a boss. And I think that was smart because the bosses are
pretty hard.
Relatively tough.
I'd say relatively, some of the toughest in the genre.
I mean, yeah.
The key with Viper for me, the thing that it finally clicked was like, you needed to figure out which attacks you could parry, or that you could do a perfect block, which ones you could parry, and then learn how to weave in attacks while you're doing that, because you can, they have like an invisible bar, right? Like a stagger bar.
Mm-hmm.
And you're doing all of that stuff, and then you do like a big parry, and then you punish him. And like, if you have a consistent amount of parrying and, or perfect blocks and parries and attacks, the stagger bar starts to go up to a ridiculous degree. So, like, I got to a point with getting to the first phase that I didn't end up ever spending a health item, because I could just stagger him into oblivion, essentially, like just chew through him so fast. And then it was the second phase where the timing was completely different on everything that just took me forever to figure out, because it's slower. They're bigger hits. Some of them are pretty devastating. So
mm-hmm.
It was just kind of figuring that out. And it's funny, like I tried so much on Thursday and finally beat him. I was streaming with Jason. I was like, YOLO, I'm going to go ahead and try Viper again with my sword build. And I raffle stomped him on my first try. I was like, whoa. But, you know, I've also leveled up. Sword is a pretty brutal once you can get into the motion of the ocean, so to speak, right? You get into a good groove. And the punishing between, like, I'm hitting him for like, it's like perfect block and then hit for 2,000. Perfect block, hit for 2,000 plus 3,000. Like, you hit like a fucking truck if you can get the counterattacks off with the fucking double sword or the two-handed sword.
Yeah. For me, it was just, it was getting that, you know, learning the combo to, you know, to get the phantom buff for spear, and then waiting for an opening. if I could get, you know, get an opening, like if I do a perfect, you know, a couple perfect blocks and he has an opening or he goes in for that, like, you know, the grab jab.
Yeah, you attack, dodge to the right.
You know, if you dodge that and I've got that buff, I can lay into him with a bunch of heavy attacks that basically chews through like 70% of his stamina bar. I mean,
well, because he's using stamina too for his attacks. So, you know, every boss's stamina bar recharges at different rates, but like they can get through several attacks and then have pretty low stamina. And then you can kind of finish off their stamina so you can get in a, like, you can get in and just do your brutal attack, or you can do two or three real big attacks and then do your big brutal attack, which I think is kind of key.
Yeah. It was just, you know, working out the dance. And that's what I'm seeing from the bosses so far, is that everything's a little bit of a dance. And it wants you to perfect block more than perfect dodge, because perfect dodge takes you out of combat, whereas perfect block kind of keeps you like toe to toe with the boss, and it allows you to do those counterattacks. And just weaving in those counterattacks is, you know, is key, because that can actually, if you hit the counterattack just right, it will stop their next attack.
Yeah. And it kind of breaks the chain.
It'll break their chain. It's a combo breaker. But
combo breaker.
Combo breaker. But yeah, that game, it's good. It's difficult. And that is a good thing and a bad thing. Like, I'm not going through that game and just stomping it. It doesn't seem like it's going to be one of those games.
Not even close. I think this is harder than Elden Ring, like in points.
It's
harder than some of the Dark Souls stuff. Like this early in the game, like being raffle stomped that hard by Viper until I finally figured it out. And then the following boss after that, like, is comparatively easier, but took me like 2.5 hours on yesterday morning to figure out. And that was the one, again, you come in, that was an alternate version of him, and some of the moves are similar. So right. I kind of had the timing down on the perfect blocks. I was going to try doing some parries, and I was like, man, I'm hot trash at the parries, so I'm going to go with the perfect blocks because I can weave in attacks. And for me, the extra attacks and not waiting for a brutal attack to get any damage in is key. Also, depending on how you spec, when you do the perfect block, it also does a little bit of, like, chip damage as they hit you back at them. Yep. So, like, he's getting damaged all the freaking time, which is perfect.
Yeah, it takes some getting used to. It was my because the because the block is on like L1 on the controller, the shoulder button. I was when I was fighting Viper, my hand was cramping on that.
The tips of my thumbs are sore right now.
Yeah, because you have to hit it. You can't just hold that button down. Now, there's some skills that will allow you to use your spirit, which is a currency you get from perfect blocking and perfect dodging. You can use that to basically auto block, but it's not. And if some, you know, if there's a, you know, like the 5 attack chain that he does, you can kind of use that for the 5 attack chain and, you know, basically be safe. Yeah, just getting used to the timing on, L1 and hitting that consistently. It's different. Like it really is kind of like a rhythm game at that point.
It's like playing Guitar Hero or something.
Yeah, you have to hit it just right for the for the perfect block mechanic to actually go through.
I think probably about a quarter second time frame.
Yeah, so you can hold down the block, but it chews through your stamina to a point where if you are out of stamina, you're basically vulnerable for, you know, 2 or 3 seconds, and bosses really punish that.
Yeah, the key is to get them to that point so you can punish them.
Right. So
there is some learning curve to it, and I would say that it's right up there. Like, having played a little bit of Sekiro, it's probably on par with Sekiro's parry timing. Like, I feel like after I play, first Berserker Kazan, I might be able to be a little bit more successful with Sekiro.
Yeah, maybe I'll go back and actually play Sekiro again.
Because it kind of trains you into, doing the perfect blocks, and perfect, and not dodging like a Dark Souls game wants you to dodge.
You always try Liza P after this. Liza P's got a broader timing on the parry than this does.
Well, I could play Liza P, but it's also kind of like, I don't want to play anything easier. I want to play something a little bit harder than this, or on par as far as difficulty, because you kind of get lax. Like, if you go, I've been going back and forth between first Berserker Kazan and Elden Ring, and I'll tell you right now, Elden Ring is fucking easy compared to Kazan. It is extremely easy.
Yeah, Kazan is like, it's on another level, but like it is incredibly satisfying. Like, I was literally shouting at the top of my lungs when I finally beat Viper. My girlfriend I was talking to her. I was like, just got in the groove right and talking to her. I shouted, "Fuck you, motherfucker!" And she's like, "What?" I was like, "Oh, this game, I've literally been in the same spot now for like 2.5-3 hours.
Yeah. I just shouted, "Get fucked." Because it feels very good to beat a boss that's been pushing your shit in for a long time, especially when it gets to the point of hours.
It does feel really good after you fought something really hard like that, and then you go into something else that's a boss, and then you just like raffle stomp them.
Yeah, it's like, or you've learned and you've gained. You've gained something from it, and that is it. It's real good.
Like,
so,
like I said, get past the next boss and then go back to Viper, like, just because you can replay the levels, right? And there's little collectibles that there's like so many little systems, right? Jason was watching me. I was so they have a summon system, kind of like Elden Ring does, but you have to defeat the Phantom to get the currency for that summon. So littered all throughout all the levels are all these little, they're optional, but different little mini fights with your Phantom, basically, right? And they drop gear and they drop experience. And I've gotten some really good gear from fighting them, but they drop currency too, and that currency is for summoning them later. You can only carry like 5 of these summons on you, but that currency you can use back at your base, which is basically like the Nexus from Demon Souls. To level up those Phantoms. So, like, right now I'm just, like, pumping a bunch of these coins, essentially, into their health. And then keeping a couple of them in case I need a summon later. Because your initial summon's pretty flippin' weak. Like, dies in, like, 4 or 5 hits, it feels like. So, it's worth it to go pump points into them and then just keep a couple of tokens around and then just farm them. Like, I just went through a level and there was a spot that had like 4 of them. And I was just going through and just like killing all of them. You fight your summons. The best thing is just to punish the piss out of them because they can heal too. Which is what I do. I don't even wait for them to like go at me. Like, I just go ham on them until they have no stamina. And then usually I can usually take one out in about 30 seconds.
Yep. For me, it's, do the 3 poke combo so that I get my Phantoms, my Phantom Slashes, and then they will come at me with one of their combos. I'll parry it, and then I just do my heavy attack combo, give them a kick in the face, and by that time they're out of they're out of stamina. So I do a brutalize, and then they've got like a tic tac of health, and they're trying to heal, and then you just do, you know, 1 or 2 quick jabs at them while they're trying to heal, and it's over. The only one that I have problems with is the spear wielded one, because its moveset is very close to what I'm using, and it's got extra reach. So I have a hard time actually blocking that, you know, that one. But dual blades and the greatsword phantoms, I can take out real fast. So yeah, it is a game that I will continue to chip at, but it's one of those games where I need to let it sit for a minute, because I don't necessarily need, I don't need to be frustrated at the end of my day. And that game can very easily frustrate you, if especially at the end of the day when you have problems like keeping up with shit, you're just slightly tired and your reaction speed's a little slow. You're just like, yeah, no, fuck it. I can't do this anymore. And I just let it sit. That said, though, I mean, that gives you options to be able to fuck around with other games. And I've been fucking around with other games, you know, pretty hard, because really the only new game is First Berserker Kazan. And that's really the only thing that's kind of available on the market that I want to play. That gives me some time to kind of poke around at other games. And I've downloaded a few, bounced off of a few more. So I played a little bit of No Man's Sky yesterday, and I can't get into it. I don't know what the deal is.
I feel like I'm completely done with that game.
Yeah, there's a lot of shit that they continue to add to that game, and I applaud them for continuing to add to that game, but it's like, now it's a mountain. And
it takes a really long time to get anywhere.
Right. It's a mountain instead of, you know, tiny molehills, and I feel like those, you know, that they continue to add that shit for players that have been continually playing it, and that's probably like maybe a handful of people who continually play that game.
I'm not that kind of gamer.
Yeah, I can't get into that, you know, that anymore. And it's just I bounced off of a few more. Just going over. Let's see. I'm checking my library. Armored Core, Fires of Rubicon, I bounced off that again. I've bounced off of Black Myth Wukong again. I've kind of got a going playthrough of Elden Ring, just kind of like I do a little bit here and stop, and a little bit there and stop, but you know, it's not anything serious. And then I decided to go with one of your suggestions, a couple weeks ago, pick up Death Stranding again. And I've been playing Death Stranding for the last 6 hours or so. And Death Stranding, I can kind of take or leave. It's one of those. It's a game I want to get through again before the second, Death Stranding 2 comes out. I think I'm gonna continue to play through Death Stranding. It feels relaxing enough that when I'm pissed off at Kazan, I can actually play this game and just be like, you know what, this is chill.
Yeah, that's kind of where my Death Stranding game is too, and that's this week, because I'll be out of town Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I'm going to play some Kazan and Death Stranding, and Black Myth is just still not going to get installed for a while because it's just not doing anything for me.
It really doesn't do. it really doesn't do anything for me either. It's just I don't quite know.
I don't like the rhythm and flow of it.
It doesn't. It feels weird. It feels very weird, and I'm not super keen on it. That and I really fucking hate the voice actors for.
It's the most abrasive English voice acting ever.
It really is. So I just can't get into it. That's kind of it. I mean, between Kazan and Death Stranding, I'll be I'll be entertained for a while. I put Monster Hunter Wilds kind of on the back burner. What I've decided to do with Monster Hunter Wilds is, I'm gonna let some of the title updates come out, and then I'm gonna play through it again. And just kind of like, go through and experience, if they've done some balancing to it. I was really, really bothered with the heavy bow gun and how it was, how it kind of plays with different ammo types. So I'll just go through it again, play something completely different, maybe pick up Lance or, bow or something like that. I hear bow's pretty good in that game right now. So it just requires like rebuilding everything, and I think I'd rather just rebuild that from scratch and experience the game again a little bit later. But yeah, there's some games coming down the pipe, not very many, and it's starting to get warmer, and that's kind of one of the things that I've been looking for as far as like going outside and doing some shit. So maybe it'll be a combination of gaming and outdoors podcast, coming up. Shit, you guys could probably fucking tell me all the things that you're doing with your pools and your grills here soon.
Oh yeah, it's like I said, it's 90 degrees now outside.
Jesus, that's...
I guess I am going to do my taxes and not mow the lawn today. The lawn is...
Yeah, 64 degrees, 5 o'clock, and... It's nice here. If it gets to about 65 to 70, it's, you don't have to wear a hoodie in the north, and you can kind of open the windows and air the place out. And that is absolutely key up here, because... part of SADS is air quality inside the house. So so opening up windows and getting some fresh air flowing through the house is absolutely key. Especially before pollen starts to go. the trees have not fully budded up here yet. So we still don't have green trees, yet. So if we, if it gets to, like 65, 70 degrees, open up the windows, clear out the winter air inside the house, and then close it up before the great pollination. Because there's a lot of forest up here, and when trees decide to, when trees decide to come all over the place, it gets bad. It gets bad, real bad up here. I mean, I remember the car getting yellow, turning yellow in Tulsa, and that was just like, there's only a few trees in the plains. Yeah, it gets real bad up here. So, yeah. It's kind of where we're at right now. Jason, if you had a chance to play a game, what would you want to play?
If I had a chance to be playing a game right now, I'd be probably finishing Avowed as much as hard as I bounced off of that started.
Yeah. I mean, it's not terrible. It's just not great. You know? I would prefer to have at least one of us beat it. I don't think, Justin, did you actually beat it or did you bounce?
No, I haven't beat it.
Yeah, see, I was same way. I just couldn't get into it. So
wait. We're talking about Avowed?
Avowed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did beat it.
Oh, you beat it. All right. Well, that was great.
No pressure,
but beat it when you can.
I give it about a four out of five. It's the upgrade. It's the same issue you have, really. It's the upgrade system.
Yep.
Yeah, I bounced off of the upgrade system and just the for an obsidian game, I expected a better story.
I don't know. I mean, they had the voice acting chops there. It just needed to flow a little bit better. And I mean, if you were a Pillars of Eternity fan, yeah, you probably actually, got some of the references without having to, look up the glossary that they include in the game. But honestly, it was just mediocre for me. And so mediocre, in fact, is like, maybe not.
Yeah, like, worth the time I put into it. It's a little bit long. It's almost the perfect length. The issue is I kind of got locked into what I was doing with my weapons and really never had a chance to try anything else out because it was the decisions they made. I just don't understand those decisions. Like, they had a lot of good secret sauce with that, and they just kind of, like, it needs an overhaul with that. Like just thinking about, like, the game I'm playing, right? I'm playing Kazan, right? If I need different weapons or want to try something else, there is a vendor that you can find, right, which I think eventually teleports to your Nexus, essentially. But every time you level up, he has 3 respec orbs that are 10,000 bucks a piece, which is kind of expensive. But you shouldn't be respecing your core stats that often, right? But you can literally respec your skills at any point for no cost. Like, you can just be like, yeah, that ability didn't work. Let me try this ability on this boss fight. And then just pull points from one spot and put it in another spot, right? Yep. I assume you could probably even do it mid-combat, like, which would be crazy because you can't pause the game. But, there's incentive to go back into levels, right? Like, there's different things that unlock as far as you can go and redo boss battles. It'll let you pick the point right before boss is so that you can just warp in and do that boss to get gear that you want. I know there's a blacksmith at some point in the game. Haven't quite got there yet. But, like, there's easy farm, right? And then some of these other areas, after you've kind of gotten through it and figured out the level, like, it's kind of that Zen experience you get from trying to find a weapon in Dark Souls, and you just go back and kill, you go back and kill the knights over and over again. Like, Dark Souls 1, you wanted that Black Knight sword.
Mm-hmm.
And so you go and farm Black Knights. Well, like, a lot of the enemies drop some type of weapon or loot or something, and then the bosses drop different things too. And so, like, there's uses for all of that stuff, and you can trade all of those weapons in for essentially souls, right? Call it Lacrima in that game. Like, the whole thing with the boss, getting souls, so to speak, right? Experience, depending on how far you get in the boss battle and then going over and just reabsorbing those right before you go in is, it's a weird way to grind, but, like, it works. It's a pretty well put together game, honestly. Runs super well. Didn't know that I'd like the anime art style very much, but turns out I do on this game quite a bit. It's super brutal looking. It's super flashy looking. I don't know. It's just cool. it's cool. Not, it's very difficult, but it's cool.
Yeah, it's cel shaded, but it's not cel shaded badly. Like, it flows. Like, it almost,
it's very high detail.
Yeah. So
It's very bloody too. I didn't even see it. I really don't even see how cell shaded it is until like maybe some of the cutscenes. And even then, it's like watching an anime. So I'm all down for that. So,
yeah, the art style is super solid in that game.
Yes.
I don't know. Should we take a break?
Yeah, let's take a break.
We'll be back. And we're back. This is not going to be a long show. I don't know how we got like over 2 hours again last week, but we did. It is time for news. News. Do you guys remember the Ubisoft game, The Crew?
I did.
Have you heard anything about it since?
All I heard was it was part of the whole like Ubisoft saying that you don't really own shit. That's basically all I remember.
And man, you are on the nose. So that game released in 2014 and they shut down the servers last year. And some people sued because, you know, can't play the game anymore, but you bought a license. They're holding firm that you bought a license and you don't own the game. You cannot play the game. So they are leading the charge in bad trends in gaming. It's like you make a bunch of generic ass games and you're now licensing your games and you got the Ubisoft Plus, right? Like, which is your incentive to build games that are fucking endless. Like basically single player MMOs at this point of climbing on towers, looking at points of interest and finding collectibles, very much like your World of Warcraft experience, just all by yourself. You know,
yeah,
stuff nobody's going to see, and then building piss poor multiplayer extensions of the game. Ubi's been I feel like Ubi's been underwater for like 10 years at least. But yeah, that's a thing. I hope it doesn't catch on, but you know it will.
It's so yeah. Unfortunately, the way that games have gone in the past, I don't know, 10, 15 years, just more games as a service, which basically means games that can't be played without an internet connection of some sort or connecting to a server of some sort. So as those games age out, we're going to see more and more of those those types of games, just like you no longer can play these. And honestly, The Crew is probably one of the it's a sticking point because there was people who created, a lawsuit. I didn't know there was a lawsuit going on, but it was like, yeah, we're going to take this as an example. But how many MMOs have died and you no longer play those games?
Yeah, it's just it wasn't explicit. It wasn't explicitly sold as a license, right? As an online only. Well, and like with World of Warcraft, if that ever goes under, like you also pay a subscription fee for those games too.
Well, true, but not all of those games ended up that way. Like, I've played a lot of games that you no longer can play anymore. And not all of them were MMOs. Just these games are just defunct. You can't play them anymore. Because the online servers for them have gone down. The ones that stick in my mind are MMOs because of the way that I play video games, but I mean, there's two games, one I really loved and then they fucked up. And then one that I bet nobody here has even fucking heard of, so Star Wars Galaxies, played the fuck out of that game. Can't play that game in any official, any official capacity anymore. That game is gone. I played that game to death, when, and
that game was fundamentally broken, but it was broken in a fun way. And I enjoyed my time in it. And then another game that arguably was shit out of the gate is a game called Horizons. It was one of the first games that allowed you to play a dragon as a playable race. And it was one of those things that was probably like early 2000s. Can't play that game anymore either. I paid good money for the game. Like, you purchased the game, it was like 50 or 60 bucks or whatever for the game, and then you paid a monthly service, to be able to access it. And just like any other MMO, pretty much these days. Arguably, you would say that you own the game and you pay a subscription to get additional updates or connection to the game world. Those games are gone. Not only that, but there's other, there's thousands of other games that are simply not for sale anymore. That basically live in archives. Think all of the Nintendo, Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis, Dreamcast, all those fucking games. All of those games are no longer sold anymore. Do you actually own those games? Even if you have a physical disc that contains the game, do you own it? There's a lot of...
We might have original CD-ROMs for Fallout 1 and 2.
Right, but do you own those games?
You can install those without the internet, though.
Yeah, and the games that you can play without the internet, those can kind of live on. But, you have basically a perpetual license to play the game. But you don't own it. Nowhere in there do you own it. And that is kind of what the argument is right now. Since it has never changed from being a license, if we find that the game is no longer profitable, then because we own the servers, we have the ability to turn those servers off. And while those servers were required for, required to play the game, we're not required as a company to continue to lose money, upkeeping these servers so that you can play, play this game that you licensed from us. There will be a change going forward in how the verbiage of terms of service that everybody clicks through and never reads will say, if it hasn't already happened yet, that the game that you are picking up, you are licensing the game from the company, and the company can, can terminate that license at any time. And people will still buy those games because for the period of time that the game is relevant, they're going to get their enjoyment out of it. But it really calls into question the idea of what is ownership when it comes to, when it comes to media. And, and this has been a fight for as long as digital media has been a thing. Now, fuck, even before that, back into analog days, like taking and making copies of a cassette tape or of a VCR tape, that there was big questions as to whether or not you had the ability to do that. That's where some laws were put into effect so that you could make a copy of your of your original, so that you can keep the original in pristine condition. But still, it's we're looking at yet another step that is cooking right now that is going to that's going to change how how we see ownership of video games and digital media, and that is it's gonna clarify things, and I don't think anybody's gonna be super happy about it, except for the companies, of course. But it doesn't make any it doesn't make financial sense from a business standpoint to continue to to support a game with servers that no longer makes them money. And so that's me devil's advocating for Ubisoft. Still, I think it sucks, but as a gamer, I think it sucks that, if there's a game that I like to play, it should be perpetually playable. And I think there should be an effort to, made to, to do one final update to a game that basically removes the chains and allows the game to be, played offline. I think that would be that would be a good, gesture to the people who are who had purchased the game. Yeah, you might not get all the features as you would, as you did online, but you're still able to play the game, right?
Right.
So your license is still valid, and I think that would be a that would be a good gesture for the company. But they're under no obligation to make such updates, Unless it is brought down by law. So, yeah, if that's a thing in the future, great. Would I want to play, the Crew offline? I don't know. I don't play that. I didn't play that game in the first place. But, it's we're in a weird spot right now. And honestly, I'm surprised that it's taking this long to actually, to bring these fights to, to courts and actually get, official says on, on what things are, because it really needs to be laid down black and white so that companies don't end up fucking other, fucking their player base, I would like to see some normalization or some change made to how things are done, just so that we don't end up having these fights in the future.
That's fair. You definitely had an opinion on that. I don't disagree with a lot of that, honestly. But something big happened over the last week or so. The Minecraft movie has made $313 million globally. And it is the first movie in a long time where the kids are just flipping out in theaters. In fact, there's been some stories of cops being called to calm the masses of people throwing popcorn in the theaters, which I think is just, whatever. It's fun. I know that there's just a factor. There are people that are clutching their pearls about, how you should act in it. This is a kid's movie. Minecraft a long time ago was just like a lot of games, right? Changes into a more successful model. It's a pretty hardcore survival game in a Java engine that I used to play 15 years ago, basically. And, back then, right? Like it was an alpha. I bought it, right? Played it for a while. And I was like, okay, this is kind of neat, right? Me and my buddy TJ probably put 200-300 hours into it inside of a couple of years. And then I got bored with it, right? And then it just really caught on with kids, right? Like, it's got a really kid-friendly art style. Very imagination-focused. Very much like, it's like kind of like virtual Legos in a way, right? And kids have gotten really creative with it. Well, so certain, do you guys know what the Chicken Jockey is?
No.
So Chicken Jockey is when you have occasionally run into a zombie in the wild that's riding a chicken, right? It's just a thing. Well, obviously all the kids that have played this, like there is a scene with the chicken jockey in it. And that is a scene where all of the kids are just flipping their absolute shit when it hits. But yeah, everywhere this is playing, it's playing to full theaters. Like, essentially everybody from like 24 to 5 is going to this movie right now. So it's a thing. I mean, it's Minecraft, whatever. I mean, this is not fine cinema. This is just figured out how to make goofy ass thing work and make it kid friendly and, you know, whatever. This is, I think it's just fine.
Well, not to mention you have.
You took your kids, right, Jason?
Jack. I didn't take them. They went with someone else.
Oh, then I guess you were lucky.
But, I mean, this movie has Jack Black and Jason Momoa just basically being silly with each other. And I guess that's just super appealing to younger people right now.
I need something good and lighthearted. You know, whatever. Just good, dumb fun on cinema. That's what the movies are for. And I bet you if you bought that on, like, Blu-ray or something like that, your kid would probably watch it, like, every other day.
When it comes to streaming, my kids are going to fucking wear me out with it. I already know it.
Like, you're going to be able to quote every line from that maybe before you know it.
Exactly.
And it,
so,
thank God it has to run at least 70 days in theaters before.
So they're gonna milk the shit out of the, you know, the theaters. Honestly, it's not gonna come to streaming anytime soon. I'm probably never gonna watch this movie. Never was really a big Minecraft person. I played a grand total of maybe 5 hours in my entire life. My nephews, they know far more about Minecraft than I do. And that's okay. They'll probably watch the shit out of this movie and they'll enjoy it. I don't understand anything about this movie whatsoever. Very, very old in that particular that particular thing. What I am most happy about is that it is a video game movie that's relevant, that's doing well. And honestly, that's getting better and better over the course of the last few years. But it used to be a video game movie was going to automatically tank and just be like, you know, straight to video in most cases, you know, straight to streaming or some bullshit.
I mean, even then, it wasn't too long ago that the Warcraft movie was a complete freaking flop.
Well, and they could have done better with, you know, with that. And I understand. I get that, but you look at Minecraft and you're like, okay, well, where's the fucking story? Like, how do you make a movie out of Minecraft, right? And somehow they did, and it worked. You know, if they can make a movie out of Minecraft, then they should be able to make a movie out of pretty much any other game that would be able to appeal to audiences. And that's going to open up avenues for games that could be better fleshed out in theaters than they are actually in the video game world. Or even different takes of, you know, of a video game story. You know, would I think that a Death Stranding would actually work great in a movie theater? No, I don't think so.
They're making a movie of it right now. They're in talks.
Of course they are. but I don't think it's going to work
super well because of the way that it's presented in the, you know, in the game. But it's a weird thing. Like they can do more things with cinema and get people in on it. Like would I watch a Horizon Zero Dawn movie? Yeah, I probably would.
Oh, I'd love to see that in a movie just because I really love that story.
That, provided they get a good actress for Aloy and they don't completely Michael Bay the fucking mechanical animals, right? It would be enjoyable to see a version of that story in a movie theater. I think it just opens up Hollywood, which has been stagnant for like the last 5 years or so, to be able to, to adapt some video games, video game stories into movies. And sure, there's still going to be some flops, just like there is for any other movie, but it gives, it will give it some, I'm missing a word somewhere in there, but it gives it some legitimacy, so that they can actually get the budgets that make sense for the movie, instead of making a video game movie with like a popcorn budget. I'm looking at you, fucking Resident Evil.
So, talking about random weird shit, you know how Doom basically runs on everything, right?
Yes.
So
Doom runs on my watch.
Right. So the limited edition of Doom and Doom 2 that's in it, it's a box that says will it run edition. And $666. And it is a device that runs Doom, and there is a Keiko Demon like toy in there that also runs Doom, and it's a whole like thing of like collectibles. But yeah, like two of the collectibles, and the box itself runs Doom. It's limited. Yeah.
So the box itself has like an Arduino or a Raspberry Pi with a screen on it?
I have no idea, but let your OCD run wild. But it will play, and then it comes with a copy that plays on Switch, PS5, or Xbox, or PC. But yeah, $666.66. You can get it in pre-order it in 4 days. And it's limited to 666 copies.
Of course it is. They're all sold out already.
I'm
just going to get scalped so hard.
I'm so tempted, but I was like, I don't need to. I've got other things I could spend $600 on.
I know.
If it was $66.66, it would be 100% buy. Mm-hmm. 100% buy.
Ah, for sure. Yeah, this is probably running like a Pi Zero inside the box itself. You have to you power it up with a fucking USB cable.
I'm going to send the story to you guys, so in case you're curious.
In case I'm curious.
Yeah. But yeah, like that's
a reasonable $666.66. That's great.
In other news, there is a marathon is actually going to be a thing that comes out here in a few months. I watched some gameplay of it. So marathon's going to be an extraction style shooter where you go and get items from a zone. And then bring them back with you, right? And then you got to extract, and your little teams of three.
A lot of people are already calling it Bungie's next failure.
I guess we'll see. They also disabled proximity chat as well, which I really don't mind that. I don't really play PvP games. Huh?
Get fucked.
Yeah, proximity. Yeah. I'm like, I want to fart in peace.
But yeah, like the that's going to be a thing. I looked at gameplay of it. It doesn't look bad. If I was into that kind of thing, it might be good. PC Gamer, if you're curious, if you can go to YouTube and look at PC Gamer's YouTube page. We got like about a 15-minute playthrough of a match. I think it was titled something like, is it good enough, right? Like they were saying, yeah, it's a pretty good game, but will it catch on? And that's always the thing with these games, right? Like people put in a lot of risk to get the next big extraction shooter or FPS that people will play multiplayer on. And the thing is, you know, if you die, you lose all the loot that you just grabbed. There's no getting it back. So you can get revived, I suppose. I don't know exactly how this works. But, like, if you die, you lose all the loot, which is crazy. And then it's got a bunch of class-based abilities, kind of like an Overwatch, so to speak. But, yeah, I thought it was dead, and I guess it's not dead. They're in the middle of getting it released. Things, though, that we're probably more excited about is Death Stranding 2. Death Stranding 2 is definitely coming out in June. They created something kind of unique. They've got a accessibility mode. So, like, when you die in a boss encounter, because you played the first one, like, they're kind of few and far between, right? Actually, just side note on that, if you're playing Death Stranding, sometimes, like, once you have enough items, it makes more sense to let the, you know, the darkness or whatever the fuck it's called grab you and pull you away and do the boss encounter, because then it clears that area of, like, BDs, I guess is what they call them. BTs. Yeah. It clears the area of BTs for, like, several in-game days if you just go through the boss encounter, which that's how I was playing it before. I was like, oh, you know, I'm sick of this shit. I'm just going to do the boss encounter. Some of them are harder than others, right? But I always carry, like, way too many blood bags on me and guns and all sorts of stuff, right? So, to me, it was a little bit more interesting way to play. So, that's kind of how I've been doing it on this playthrough. But, though, they're going to have an additional option to skip the boss if you don't do it. So, instead of having to continue, right, and you try again, new option's going to let players clear the failed boss fight by showing images and text descriptions of the battle, kind of like a visual novel that will allow them to retain the narrative context of the battles without having to engage the bosses in combat. But like all of the...
Watch a movie.
Yeah, so like all the major boss battles in Death Stranding, though, had like a story element too as to why you were doing the encounter, especially like that one where it's like it feels like you go back in time to a major battle and trenches and everything else, right? Like, yep. It kind of helps flesh out the narrative context of these characters that keep flashing on your screen in these little random small cutscenes. You're like, oh, that's who that guy is, and that's why he's important. So, I think that's an interesting thing, right? Like, you know, that's not going to be me because my pride won't let me do that.
Right.
I'm going to struggle. I might, like, do a save and then just try that to see what it does. And then go back and beat it. You know what I mean? That way I can just kind of have the experience of what that's like. But that comes out like literally in like 2.5 months. So I am very much looking forward to Death Stranding 2. That's why I've got to like get through one again.
Yeah, I'm working on my playthrough of one. And
it's a pretty long game, you know, too.
Just to refresh my memory of, you know, of what's going on, but yeah.
Well, I got all the way to the end and didn't finish it last time, so I need to finish it.
Oh, you didn't finish it?
I got literally within like an hour or two of finishing it. I need to finish it.
Yeah, you didn't even get to enjoy Kojima's movie at the end.
Yeah, so I'll have to
set aside the movie at the end makes the game make way more sense. So you do have to finish it.
Yeah. How long's the movie at the end about?
About 45 minutes.
Okay, so and I'm getting close to the end. I need to save the next night for that.
Yeah, it's longer than you would expect. I think it's like 45 to 50 minutes or so. But it's like, yeah, put your controller down, just enjoy the movie at the end of the movie, at the end of the game. But it does actually, you know. Explain a lot, and yeah, it's worth Kojima's weird way of telling a story, right? So,
well, Jason, I don't have any more big stories. You had one story for sure, right?
Yeah. So, in a surprise move, and this may be something that ends up changing the way Steam approaches a lot of their independent game listings and releases from independent studios. The UK basically threatened to sue Xerox Games and Steam to force them to remove a game titled No Mercy, which is basically no dancing around it to say it is a very adult game involving incest and rape and
adult in all the worst
fairly
ways.
Extreme things. All wrapped in a 3D adult visual novel kind of aesthetic. Which any of us who have been on Steam throughout the years, there is actually plenty of that going on Steam. This one just seems to have been singled out for some reason.
No, but I think that the reason this one singled out is because there was rape in the game too.
Yeah.
Not that any of those other ones. I think the other rape ones are like waifu fuck you simulator, which I think is like childish as hell.
There's a lot of trash.
It eggs on all the tropes of virgin gamers. But this is like a whole new level. Like I'm not going to necessarily clutch my pearls over the porn games of like, you know, people with a bunch of people. It feels like games made by people that have zero game to begin with. Not that I have a plus game, but like this is definitely a low level game. And, you know, jerking off to some dumb visual novel, waifu esque digital novel versus rape simulator. Like this is fucked up. Like the other ones are fucked up in a one kind of way, right? Where I'm over 18, get my jollies being a fucking loser dork. This is like more than loser dork. This is like, let me get my jollies by being a very fucked up individual. Like, I don't know that it's kink shaming. To me, there's nothing wrong with shaming somebody who's into rape. Not a whole lot wrong with it. Like, I kind of think you're pretty fucked in the head. So the fact there's a game that's around like violent sex and non-consensual sex and incest and things like that is like pretty messed up.
We've come a long way since Night Trap.
Right. And I don't feel like I'm clutching my pearls there. Like, not even a little bit. it's weird and gross. And I don't know that there's anything. I think if you're like going to die on that hill, there's something wrong with you too. I'm not afraid to say that.
It's weird. Right? Like, I've seen some shit. Like, you know, so, I mean, I'm more than 14,000, you know, games in the discovery queue on Steam right now. And it's just a thing that I do every so often. But after a while, you start to scrape the bottom of the barrel and then you find the scum that's underneath the barrel. And boy, does it get really weird after.
And there is a lot of scum under that barrel. Yeah.
So it gets real weird after 14,000 games because Steam doesn't know what to serve you as like, you know, new titles to discover at that point. So
it starts scrubbing
some shit that, you know, so that you wish that you could unsee. Now I've got some stuff that's blacklisted on Steam and, you know, the discovery queue is supposed to, you know, to serve you. I think it's like 10 at a time. And sometimes, because of the blacklisting settings that I've got set up on my Steam, it'll only serve me two.
Yeah, I've got the adult-only games I've got blacklisted. I remember adult-only was just like hyper-violent games. Like some of the games that I've played since, you know, 20 years ago would be considered adult-only, like in 2005, right? But like if it's like super hyper-violent stuff.
Some of this is...
This is usually almost always porn stuff.
This is straight up porn. That's being blocked. And the amount of weirdly named visual novels with, you know, different themes that I've seen is, it's like, guys.
Well, some of that
exists. Go some watch it. It's free.
I kind of, you know, some of that super waifu bullshit like looks dangerously close to children too. Just like. What kind of individual gets into, you know, girls that look like girls to this degree? Like, you gross me out. And it creates some really bad appetites out there.
Yeah. I wish there was, I mean, Steam didn't used to have this shit. It was really like,
it's like the last
your green light went away.
It's like maybe the last 10 years.
Yeah. After Greenlight, you know, went away and they just basically opened the floodgates, you know, anybody can, you know, drop shit on Steam. There really isn't anything stopping these games from existing or getting into a platform in which, you know, either impressionable people could get access to it, or you know, just the general masses have to be exposed to it. So, you know, I'm okay with a certain amount of, you know, hey, this shit goes into a bucket. And honestly, I wish there was a different platform in which they could go to that basically. You know, people who want those kinds of games go to that platform and fuck off. You know, leave Steam alone. Take all your trash games away from from the Steam platform. If there was a Pornhub for games, make it happen. You know, just so that it's compartmentalized in that place. Not that I agree with those kinds of games. It's just like I would
get much it off
rather not have to deal with them.
Yeah, the adult only filter works pretty good. I don't
It does, but it's not foolproof.
No, it's not foolproof.
You know, and some of those indie developers will go out of their way to tag their game in such a way that it does not get filtered out. Yeah, I still see this shit, even though I've got it filtered, on my discovery queue. I still see these visual novel fucking furry bullshits. And honestly, you know, I'm over it. You know, but
yeah, well, I mean, just I understand that a game is a game is a game, and it shouldn't necessarily be taken too seriously, but. You know, when you basically built the rape simulator, I think you've taken it too far.
Yeah, taking it to a completely different extreme. And it shouldn't exist in the beginning, but, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's like proposing, you know, the way you take care of pedophiles is like, and God help me for saying this because I know this is probably going to happen soon. You build them like childlike AI sex dolls and say, "There you go, control your urges." This
way. God, no. No.
I think that it's 50 cents for 22 bullets. Let's just get rid of them.
yeah.
My hot take.
I'm not going to condone the violence, but I will say, just, you know, this was too far, and I think the UK was definitely in the right there to pressure both Valve and this developer to pull the game down. I 100% agree with that. And they have, you know, I'm sure, there is so much that comes on the platform that I doubt, you know, anybody in Valve really 100% knew what was going on with that game. You know, despite the content warnings that are there, you can't tell me that they have somebody who deep dives all of these every time. And, you know, for Zerat Games, I really don't know what to say to you other than you really shouldn't be putting content like that out there, period.
Well, to...
To break this up a little bit, I enjoy ChatGPT quite a bit, and I decided to ask ChatGPT how much a 22 bullet costs on average.
And?
And it says 5 to 15 cents, depending on the brand. And it asked me, would you like recommendations for specific use, like target practice or fire control? And all I could say was, fire control, you could say that.
I mean. So, putting an end cap on this, we do have some game releases coming up. For the month of April, there is, if you're on PS5, you can finally play Indiana Jones as of the 17th. This will be out after that. And I know a lot of people like Monaco. That's supposed to come out sometime this month, but I haven't seen any announcements. For next month, though, in May, we do have Dune the Dark Ages coming out on the 15th of May. You might take a look at Metal Eden if you're on PS5. It looks like it's kind of a Gundam-style game. Looks kind of neat, though. Capcom Fighting Collection 2, if you're into those old games, that's coming out on freaking everything on the 16th. Dune Awakening comes out on May 20th. Onimishu 2 Samurai's Destiny, which is one of my most looked forward to games this year, is coming out on May 23rd. And then Elden Ring Night Rain on the 30th of May. And we'll go into Switch releases later. But there's a fuckload of Switch releases for June, and I'm not going to go through all those right now. Their Switch 2 is launching to a pretty decent amount of games.
Yeah, there's a game that I'm looking at that's probably going to get a little bit of a play, probably between now and the next podcast. I'm going to pick up South of Midnight.
That's on Game Pass right now.
It's on Game Pass right now. What's that?
That's literally what I was saying. It's like it's on Game Pass. I'd looked at that, but I've got too much of my plate to play right now.
Yeah, South of Midnight is the it's kind of like a fantasy. From what I understand, it's more of a fantasy, but it's got that weird almost stop motion animation art style to it, which is polarizing, just from that. But it's
let me know if it gives you a headache or not.
Yeah, I'm gonna give it a try. Just because it was one of the titles that kind of caught my eye when they did a big game showcase. I forget which one it was, but it did catch my eye. So I'm gonna give that a go. Considering how I'm bouncing around video games, it's something I can try. But yeah, I think that's. You know, and Dune the Dark Ages, man. I can't wait for that game to get in my hands. So.
All right. Well, Jason, anyway, where can you find us?
Find us at tiltcast.com. Find us on Facebook and Twitter.com/tiltcast. Our YouTube channel, youtube.com/tiltcastshorts. And find us on iTunes and Spotify. Subscribe.
Find friends of the show. You've got For the Love of Gaming. You've got Picking Up the Pixels or Pupcast and TVGP.TV. I bet they play Marathon. And with that, it's the end of the show.
All right. Peace.